Rhythms. Rhythms of the church. So let's do this. Everybody just start clapping at your own beat. All right. What just happened? For those of you who have seen Dead Poets Society, you know what happened. But here's the thing. Everybody claps to a different beat, but when there's a clear, steady rhythm, everyone begins to come in on that rhythm. Everyone begins to get into that, and all of a sudden you have this unity and this equality that comes about with everybody clapping to the same beat. Now, the book of Acts is a rhythm. The book of Acts is this beat that has been going on since the very beginning of time. The book of Acts is a book written about the Acts of the Apostles. In other words, it's really a book about how they begin it. So Jesus, which we're going to read a little bit about this in a second, but Jesus rose again from the dead. But here's the thing. As humanity collides with divinity, Jesus Christ come, he begins to be in contact and begins to hear the beat that has been going on since time began. A rhythm that has taken place. Dr. John Ogilvie, in his commentary of Acts called The Drum Beat of Love, says the very beat, the God's drum beat, is love. And that he's been having this rhythm continually and thoroughly throughout all of time. He says, what has taken place in the book of Acts is that they have entered into that drumbeat, and so do we. We enter into a rhythm that has taken place from the beginning. And today's rhythm, in the title of our sermon, Be About the Word. Be About the Word. You can go to the next slide. Oh, actually, that would be good. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 44. I got all excited about the clapping. You guys nailed it. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 44. Then he said to them, sorry, if you're using the Pew Bibles, that's on page 885 around the room. The Bible's right in front of you. If you don't know your way around the Bible, we always want to try to provide the page number for you. So Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 44, says this. Then he, being Jesus, said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is the word of the Lord. The author of Acts is, anyone? Luke. And so the author of Acts is Luke. So Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke was one of the apostles Paul's, not only was his companion, but he was also his doctor. He was his physician. And he's writing to a person named Theophilus. And so Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says this up on the screen. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. And then he goes on to write the Gospel of Luke. And then we see this kind of re-upping itself in chapter, or the part two of this two-part series, the life of Jesus Christ. And then we see in Acts chapter 1, he starts it up again. He says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And speaking. So where we pick up the story is we almost have kind of a two-part series where, you know, when you watch on the TV a sitcom and it said, last week, right? And then it gives a little review. And so that's what I want to do. That's how I want to start us off in the book of Acts, is starting us off at the very end of Luke. And so at the very end of Luke, we see chapter 24. It's titled The Resurrection. So Jesus Christ just rose again from the dead. And it picks up on this cool little story about these two guys walking on this road called the Road to Emmaus. And so he's walking down the road and he runs into these two guys. And we pick this story up in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So he basically says, what are you guys talking about? Not knowing that this is Jesus, and they're like, are you the only stranger around that has no idea what just took place? They were talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But look at verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Some other versions say, but we had trusted that he was the one. That he was the one. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb earlier in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And then he said, being Jesus, said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Now verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. The word is about the word. The word is about the word. And here's what I mean. First of all, for those of you that have been around Christianity for a while, wouldn't you have not liked to have been a part of that conversation? Just sitting there with Jesus, just, you know, goes and starts teaching all the way from the very beginning. Now, he talks about Moses. That's the first 5 books of the Bible, also known as the Torah or the Law. And he goes through the books of Moses and shows how all of it is pointing to this guy who's going to come. All of it is saying, hey, he's on his way. This guy is coming. And then he goes through the Psalms and the prophets. Hey, there's a guy that's coming to come to live and die and rise for us. And so Jesus goes through all the scriptures and he's pointing that the word is about the word. And we see that they're looking for somebody. They're going to trust in him. And he starts beginning with the law or Moses and all the prophets. He interpreted, he opened up the scriptures concerning themselves to him. In verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And then our scripture also this morning in verse 44, speaking to now his disciples, he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The word is about the word. And here's what I mean by that. In John 1:1, it says this up on the screen. In the beginning was the word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him, Jesus, was life, and life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. He is the word. He is the expressed image of who God is. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the guy that lived 2,000 years ago. So what was so important about him? Well, all of history was changed, and the world was turned upside down. Why? Because he was not just a man. He was God, and he came to save. And all throughout history, from Genesis 3, we see a prophecy all the way then to the seed of the woman, that Jesus would come. And from then on, we see this rhythm saying, hey, I feel like you guys need to wake up. Hey, Jesus, there's a guy that's coming. It's a rhythm that the word, that all of this points to the word, and that is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Someone is coming. Jesus is here. He has come, and he's coming again. And as a church, we join in that rhythm. So what you're going to see is this, that this Bible is always going to point to what this represents. That everything in our church is going to point to Jesus. Why? Because we enter into the rhythm, the drum beat that God has already given us. He's already doing here in our city of Goleta and throughout all of Santa Barbara County. And so we as a church enter into that rhythm. Number two, the Spirit is about the word. Look at verse 45. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, most commentaries would say that the Holy Spirit came into the apostles and opened their eyes and to understand, opened their understanding. Look at John 16 up on the screen. When the Spirit of truth, speaking of the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but at whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Spirit comes and points to Jesus. So just a few quick things on that, because I want to get you guys out of here at a decent time because it's Mother's Day. So here's the thing. We've seen a lot of moves of the Spirit, have we not? Whether you see it on TV and there's this kind of like, you know, television evangelists and people getting slain in the Spirit, and that's neither here nor there how true or untrue that is. That's not what I want to debate. What I do want to debate is this, that if the Spirit of God is moving in somebody and their life and words are not pointing to Jesus, it is not the Spirit of God. Is that clear? So if things get all crazy and the Spirit moved, and it's not being pointed to Jesus, it makes you wonder what kind of spirit is going on here. But here's the cool thing. Here's the positive side to this. When we are filled with the Spirit, we know what takes place. God, Jesus, is glorified in our lives. We get filled. We get that. How many of you guys have felt that? How many of you guys have felt the Holy Spirit? Think about the context of how you felt the Holy Spirit. It leads us into the glorification of Jesus Christ. He leads us into the glorification of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus, or the Spirit, is about the Word. The Spirit is about the Word. We need the Spirit and see and understand the Word. So here's what the context is. Jesus comes to the guys on the road to Emmaus and the disciples, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they're able to see that all of this, that the Word is about Jesus, the Word. And we too need the Spirit. And so then the last thing is this. The gospel, the good news, is about the Word. Look at verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, speaking of the Holy Spirit, but then stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. The gospel points to Jesus. What does that mean? The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ brings life. How many of you guys believe that's good news? Huh? Okay, all right, it's kind of good news. That's cool. It's really, really, really good news. That Jesus' life, death, and resurrection with the work of the Holy Spirit. So how did you come here and why are you here? I know it's Mother's Day. I know you were hoping for a flower. You're welcome. But at the end of the day, I believe, we believe, the Holy Spirit is at work in this world, creating a rhythm by which this church begins to live into as individuals and collectively as a church. And then the Holy Spirit is revealing something to you. And we just saw what the Holy Spirit reveals. That's Jesus on the cross. And as the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus on the cross to us, we then begin to live into what we were created to be. Sons and daughters of the living King. Sons and daughters of the living King. And so here's some just real simple application. Just some basic stuff. Number one, in regards to application, is up on the slide, read the word. Like, read the scriptures. Like, how many of you guys need to do this? Can we just have an honest moment? How many of you guys need to go, dust this thing off? And I don't mean your iPhone. Your iPhone doesn't have dust on it. How many of you guys need to just crack this thing open, whether it be hardbound or that Bible your grandma gave to you, whatever, and open it and read it. Now, I'm not against the iPhone, right? Like, I use it on mine all the time. But there's something about taking the time to open the book. So your application, what does it mean to get in the rhythm of what God is doing? Read the word. Jump into the word. John 17:17 says this. Sanctify, which, what does it mean, sanctify? It means becoming more like Jesus. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So what does it mean to be like Jesus? You are in the word. Number two, pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, as we come to this word, we don't always understand it. But here's it's such a simple spiritual discipline. You go to read the Bible, you go like this. Holy Spirit, give me understanding to understand your word. And then begin to read. And for even those of us that are here that have been in the faith for a long time, we need to hear that again. Because we read it and it's become so common to us that we forget we need the Holy Spirit to bring life. Because this word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Now, when we read the word, pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the last application is this: be about the word. Be about the word. That's it. Read the word, pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then live it out. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers also. Amen? I mean, that's the whole idea of what does it mean to live into the rhythm of what the church, what God is doing through the church. Read the word, pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and be about the word. That's all I got for you. If I could have the band come up and I will pray for us. We got two more songs and then we have some amazing lunch that the men have cooked for the ladies. So, Father, we come before you in Jesus' name and pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us, or that you would help us to understand what it means to live into the rhythm of who you have called us to be. And I pray, Father, that you would open up your word as we open up your word, that you would reveal your word to us, that Jesus would be made a really big deal of as you fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.